Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I want to welcome you to our Monday night prayer call. This call is for the Republic, but not only for the Republic. This is to all people that wish to come on and receive that which is being shared, the blessings of the Lord, the teachings, and the prayer, and we also have times of prayer requests. This six-week time period, I've already entered into it, but we're going to extend it because of the amount of material and the need to repeat. And I only offered it to a broader group of people just this week, tonight. And so I'm going to do some refresh, just to covering what we've talked about just briefly, and then go right into what we're going to be talking about tonight. I truly believe this will be a blessing for everybody that will listen, as an ear to hear. And I pray that the Lord would give you an ear to hear. So let's go before the Lord. Father Yahweh, you are Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's by your blessings and by your hand that we are held up. You, Lord, have come to us saying that we are required of you. That's right. You require us to come unto you. You require that we come into thy throne of grace with thanksgiving and a grateful heart. Lord, that we would enter into your very throne room, that we can worship you, praise you, bless you, and offer up our sacrifice of love and thanksgiving unto you in all that we do. Lord, this is a season where we have to choose our time, actions, deeds, and what we're going to be involved in. What war, literally, are we going to step into? Because every one of us are in a war in the spirit. There's been myriads of angels released around the nation and around the world, many of them released for that which is going on in Israel and that which is being poured out. There's many being released for the war that's going on in the United States. And people say, what war are we in? For the salvation of a nation. Lord, you said you're putting up a defensive edge of angelic host around this nation, throughout it, in the cities, in the fields, everywhere, looking for hearts that would seek after you, that they would, that your children would call upon you and give a request and dispatch and assign the angelic host to be able to do that which is needed. Lord, in Psalms 91, you say that we shall be saved from the terror at night and the arrows that fly by day. Lord, that's my prayer for Israel right now. It's my prayer for the United States, for the Republic. It's my prayer, Lord God, for your covenant people.
Amen.
All of Psalm 91. Lord, that you would literally send forth your angelic host, and that you deliver us from the snare of the fowler and from the pestilence. Lord God, that you would bring us under your wings like a chick, that you would comfort us and give us direction, that the pestilence then of darkness would not come near our camp, and that, Lord, we would not be wasted away from fear and frustration and anxiety, and that you'll give angels charge over us. Lord, that the arrows and destruction thereof, the enemy's attack, will not enter into our home, into our property, into our family. So I pray for grace and mercy and understanding, that you would show us this time, Lord God, and that you would deliver us into your hands, not the enemy's hands. That you would show us what it means to go before thy courtrooms and go before thy throne of grace. That you would grant unto us wisdom, discernment, understanding, and protection beyond that which is of the standard physical realm. That you would give us courage and grace, and that you would grant, Lord God, peace that surpasses understanding. And that we would seek you for divine counsel, information, direction, and insight as we go forward and do battle for your kingdom and our land. First land is us. Second land is our home, our dwelling place, whether it be a rental, a trailer park, an apartment, a home, a ranch. It does not matter. And next, the city we dwell in, then the state, and then lastly, the nation. Lord, that we would understand that which you're asking of us to do right now, and we could enter into thy courtrooms to receive grace and mercy. And that your love and kindness would watch over us. In Yeshua, Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So I wish to welcome everybody and encourage you that you would get a blessing from this. I started out this teaching from God's hands to your land because the request of Monty Olson and many others, and the Lord finally gave me the unction and said, I want you to go do this. So in doing that, I'm pulling the information from Jeanette Strauss, Ian Clayton, Marlene McMillan, Chuck Pierce, Cindy Trim, Dutch Sheets, and Rebecca Brown. These are some of the primary references that I'll be dealing with. The Bible establishes a spiritual relationship between God and land. This is something that many people miss and they don't understand, and I want to just lay a couple important things out. God made as many covenants with the land as he did with people. Go back and look. The land of Israel. He made a covenant. Jerusalem. A covenant. So it wasn't just the Abrahamic covenant. It wasn't just the Mosaic covenant, the covenant with Moses. It was not just with Jacob. There were covenants that God made with the land and with the people. Now, land has a testimony. Every piece of land has a heritage. It has a testimony. There are communities that have been erected on land that was soiled by death that they never broke the curses off of. Many people end up finding out that their land was built literally on top of burial grounds and caused great grief in their homes. So we're going to talk about dealing with your property and dealing with title deeds. Now, many of us understand what is claimed in the world, but you need to understand something more important. As creator of the earth, the Lord is the holder of the title deed of all the earth and all the properties thereof. So when the Lord created the earth, he came first as owner and gave a starting point of the real estate called earth. The Lord made it clear that he's the title deed owner of all the land, and we're only temporary residents thereof. And the Lord says in Leviticus, the land shall not be sold into perpetual ownership, for the land is mine. You're only strangers and temporary residents. So the Lord said that he owns the land. Now, we have a deed in trust when we sell a piece of property. And many of you, I won't get into lodeal titles and all those things that many of you understand. But when we obtain a piece of property and we pay it off, we get what's called a deed in trust. What point that most people don't understand is who owns the deed and trust? Who owns that trust? Well, there are several trust owners. The bank can have a trust. That trust literally is owned back to the City of London because all land in the United States is still pledged back to England. Now, you can look things up. I'm not going to debate with people, but if we look, and then that land, those trusts are claimed by the Vatican. Now, the Pope recently got up several months ago and stated that all persons, soul, and land of the world belong to the Catholic Church. So that might be quite a startling revelation to you, but as long as something's in a trust, who's the trust owner? You have to find out who is the final trust owner. So if you can obtain a trust, if you can obtain the lodeal title, if you can go into all these things that other people are far more better equipped to teach than I am, you can understand and get a freedom for your land. But we're going to talk about the spiritual freedom of land. The first piece of land that God wants to deal with is you. So all the way back to the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve committed the sin, it wasn't Eve committing the sin, it was Adam and Eve, and he allowed it. As a matter of fact, he was there the whole time. He was disobedient to the Lord, and it forced the God of heaven, the righteous judge of heaven and earth, to pronounce a judgment upon the land. And repercussions have come upon the land because of their sin ever since. Now, the same judgment is executed today. You say, well, how can that be? Well, the earth was judged. The Lord says, he says unto Adam, he said, because you hath hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and he hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. That judgment still reigns today. Now, we can have productive land. We can have land that yields great harvest, but at the same time, there are many people that have land that don't yield anything, and I don't mean just growing. I mean as far as the land of their homes. There's all kinds of tragedies in their families. There's all kinds of things that are that go on. They just can't figure out why they're having what they call bad luck. Things just aren't going my way. Well, it's because of land curses. You say, well, I haven't done anything on this land, but what was on the land before? So the land cries out for the innocence, the blood that was shed upon the land. The Lord says that the Lord can hear the voice of the land crying out daily in heaven. So if you inherited or purchased a piece of land with a blood curse on it, then guess what? You got the curse that went along with the land. So if there's been bloodshed, let's just say I'm in Texas. So we took this land from two different groups. First of all, it was taken from the Native Americans. Then it was turned around and taken from the Hispanics. Now, there was curses. There was bloodshed on the land. Have you cleansed your land? Now, the responsibility or the responsible party for that bloodshed is probably not around. It could have been hundreds and hundreds of years ago. And, so that person can't make restitution, but we as intercessors can stand in the gap and make up a hedge and take a petition before the Lord, repenting on behalf of any sin committed on the land and the shedding of innocent blood, and ask for forgiveness. So if that land has been involved in witchcraft, if that land has had innocent blood shed on it, so now I want you to understand, we're talking about you, then your place, your domicile, then your city, then the nation, the state, and then the nation. Because we don't take on the nation in the beginning. I mean, are you willing to take on the sins of, 52, 53 million babies that have been aborted? Are you willing to take on the sins of all the Native Americans that were killed, or all the other discrimination or things that were done on the land? No. You're not called to. The battle is the Lord's. But what he's saying is, repent. I'm going to ask you to come and repent before me for the land and take communion upon the land. Now, there are signs when there's people living on the land and there's problems. And the Lord says, and first I will recompense their iniquity and their sin double because they defiled my land and have filled my inheritance with the carcasses of their detestable and abominable things. That's Jeremiah 16. So that's partly talking about abortion and many other things. But God's saying, breaking the curse of a land where there were foreign gods worshipped, idols, that it would be cleansed. So according to the Word, a curse cannot come without a valid reason. A violation of the Word could give a curse a valid reason to come. And if the land that you are on is defiled, then you can go before the Lord, go before the courtrooms of heaven, and bring that curse before the Lord, bring before him anything that's taken place on your land, ask forgiveness, ask him to take it from the courtrooms of judgment because you did not show up at the time. The enemy, which, what does the Word say? The enemy continually goes before the Lord. He's talking about the sin. What is the sin? What have you done? What is the sin of the land? What was done on the land? And brings it before the Lord. So if you weren't there, if you didn't show up for court, then a judgment was issued against the land. So he wants you to act as an advocate for your land. So here's where we're going to start getting into meat. The Lord has a plan for each one of us to defeat the enemies and remove the hold they have on our land. Now remember, first thing I'm talking about, what is your land? It's you. You're the most important land that God wants to deal with. So in your inheritance, in your heritage, what are the iniquities of your bloodline? You can cancel them. You can go before the Lord and repent for your ancestral sins and break the curses upon the land. The Lord says the Redeemer is strong. He's the Lord of hosts is his name. He shall thoroughly plead their cause, that he may give rest to the land and disquiet the inhabitants of Babylon. Well, the inhabitants of Babylon were the ones that were bringing accusations against the God's covenant people. So as we intercede and go before the Lord for breaking these strongholds, then God says he will release the liens in the spirit. Now, many of you understand a lien. If you have a lien against your land and they're trying to take it, they're trying to foreclose on it because you're not able to make payments or you believe they've done it improperly or illegally, they still hold a lien. They're going to take you to court continually. Now, many of you that have discharged your liens, and then a year later, they come back in a different court with a new set of lawyers. It's because they have taken up cause against you and brought the lien to the court again. And each time it could be a different court. Probably not the same court. And you have to go like over and over again. You can defeat it, but you need to atone for the sin through repentance legally, that God will break the liens against you to set it free. Now, he's getting, you know, he has authority to remove sin. That's one of the promises he did. Now, you know, I think it was Mark 10, that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sin. So Jesus, the name of Jesus, we have that authority to come before him and ask him to break the curses and remove any unfavorable patterns, which we could call bad luck. Well, I just have no luck at all. What was that old country song, Doom, Despair? Agony on me, downright desperation, excessive misery. I think that was from an old TV show. And they were making fun of it, but literally, that is true curses. So when we pick up a piece of property, now, and you've got to understand this, we've got to go a lot of steps. Now, we've picked up a city or a state. You've moved into from one state to another. Moves one city to another. You bought a house. Well, guess what? If there's a curse on that property, you inherit the curse because you purchased the curse. So many people, myself and others, you go and you pray over the land, you anoint it with oil, you pray a prayer of faith, you believe God. But we didn't know, many of us, I did not know, about the courts of heaven. We did not know what we should do, how we should go before the courts of heaven, that we could cleanse the land in such a way is that any liens and legal rights of the enemy against the land would not come upon us and our family. So the enemy knows the importance of covenant enactments. So the enemy, through the occult, through their practices and rituals, they bind up a piece of property. And I'm going to give you a perfect example of that in just a moment. But you can be living on a piece of property that has had one time been dedicated to Satan, and I was. There could be even an altar on it, and I had one. So we suffered tremendously until the Lord showed me what the problem was, and we cleansed the house. But it cost me greatly, and you'll hear about it in just a moment. So as a legal renter, okay, you come in and you're purchasing or just renting a piece of property, and you sign the lease or agreement to the rules. That means you have legal right and responsibility as caregiver for that property because you're paying for it, and guess what? You get to partake of the curses. Now, I hate to say that. It's a little scary, but it's the truth. So I want to talk about purchasing a curse. I'm going to give you a perfect example, and I'm going to give some other words of testimony and on how we're going to break it. So I want to talk to you about purchasing a curse, and this is my personal experiences. Now, the book that I'm using talks about the curses that the writer Jeanette ran into, but I want you to talk about the ones that I ran into so it becomes real time. 1981, was purchasing a home in South Houston, and when we got there, it was a nice little home, a little three-bedroom, two-and-a-half bath, nice little home, good neighborhood. But when I got there, it was in shambles, and it was a fixer-upper. We purchased a home that had to be totally renovated, and we came in and got to, you know, do the cabinets and the carpet and the paint and change out fixtures, and just really clean it up the way we wanted it, like you see many TV shows they're advertising these days. So we thought we had a great deal. We did the landscaping. Everything was just really nice, new furniture. And we started having problems. So then one day, a group of teenagers was driving past our home, and they shouted out to my 10-year-old son and 8-year-old daughter, and my wife was behind the bushes. They didn't see her. They says, we're going to kill you and your family for living in our home. Well, my wife screamed for me. I come running out, and they'd gone down the street, and I literally followed them down the street to the house. They went and knocked on the door and said, I'd like to know what you're talking about. And they swore they didn't do it. And I says, well, my wife and my children heard this. About a month later, and there's a couple of you on the phone that know me well and know this testimony. My daughter was, we had somebody that was taking care of them in the afternoon. They would come to our home and while we were working. And my little 8-year-old daughter and 10-year-old son and their children, which were 12, 13, and 14, went riding bicycles around the block. Well, one of those teenagers stole a car And her assignment was, as a Wiccan, that she had to kill somebody. And she ran down my 8-year-old daughter, hit her doing 50 miles an hour in a family subdivision that had a 25-mile-an-hour speed zone, and threw her 50 feet in the air. She landed on her head and her back, fractured her skull from front to rear, broke her back in 3 places, nearly severed her right leg, and my 10-year-old jumped down and said, "In the name of Jesus, rise up and be healed." Then he ran into the house where the accident took place in front of and ran into the door and asked for the phone so he could dial 911. Now, there could have been pit dogs or Rottweilers or anything in that house. He just did it. Next thing that happens, he called me, and the people at the house were amazed that a 10-year-old would do all this. And I asked them to go check on my daughter, and she was in the kind of shape that was explained. They gave her a little chance to live. She broke her back in 3 places, her skull, because of the fracture. They said she would be a vegetable. Her entire left lobe was blackened because of the bleeding. They were going to take off her right leg. And I called out to the Lord and called out to friends and people in the ministry all over the United States. And I cried out to the Lord, "What has happened? Help me and let me know if my daughter will live or die." And the Lord spoke to me. He said, "Do not fear, your daughter shall live. She shall not die, and I'll raise her up to my testimony as a glory unto me." So I was flying down to the hospital, doing 110 on land instead of in the air, and got there, and 5 doctors were working on her in the hallway because there was no room in the emergency rooms, and they couldn't get her to stop convulsing. And I asked them to step aside, prayed over, and she stopped immediately. And long story short, we left the hospital in 3 days. The doctors were totally amazed. They said she'd be a vegetable. She'd never do anything. She went on to be the captain of the cheerleaders, volleyball team, basketball team, track team, president of student body as a junior and a senior. And God raised her up. And she's been in management in every company she's ever been in since. And she's now 32. I went back to see what it was. And God said there was a curse on the land. And he's told me to start purging the house. So I repented, number one, for anything that I'd done for me and my family. And then I says, "What must I do?" He says, "I'm going to send you throughout the house." So now you understand, this house just been painted, all new furniture, everything about it was beautiful. And it was just a nice little $150,000 home in a great neighborhood, good family neighborhood where, you know, lots of kids. But my daughter was in the process of fulfilling the curses that the Wiccan group, the witches group, had spoken over my children. Well, he had me go through the home. First thing he took me in was to the attic. In the attic, there were bones spread throughout the insulation, throughout the whole house, where they had sacrificed animals, cats, squirrels, small dogs that are missing in the neighborhood had been sacrificed in the fireplace, and their bones thrown in the attic. Then he sent me around the house, and the biggest one, he says, "I want you to go to the fireplace." So I went over to the fireplace, and there was a place where the plaster had been covered up, new plaster, and he says, "Scrape it off." I scraped it off, and there was a hole drilled in there, and inside of that, I stuck a coat hanger, opened up in there with like a hook on the end, and pulled out, and there was a satanic prayer scroll where the property had been dedicated to Satan. And I said, "Lord, I knew that there had been problems in this house. I mean, the place was filthy and torn up, but I had no idea of the depth." And he said, "I want you to reclaim the house unto me." And we dedicated the house. I did not know anything about the courts of heaven at the time. We broke the curses, repented for that which had been done in the place, and called upon the Lord. Now, over the next 4 years, it became a home where we had home church, Bible studies. 4 pastors were raised up and ordained out of that home. God moved mightily. And he says, "I want you to repent and ask forgiveness for the sins that were committed in this house and on this land." Now, I hadn't committed any of those sins. But I want you to repent on behalf of the sin that was committed that would give curse a legal right to be there and to threaten you and your family. And the Lord raised up my daughter, and she came home in 3 days when they said she would not be able to leave the hospital for years because of her back. So when the Lord told me to claim the land for him and invest into it symbolically and anoint it with oil and pray over it according to the scriptures and in repentance, he took action. He cleansed the land, he restored it, and made it a house of prayer. And in that house of prayer, I don't know how many deacons, but I know 4 pastors were raised up, and many, many people were set free from sin and death and curses. So we cleared the curse and commanded it be broken of anything that was on the land in the name of Jesus. And he told me, he says, I want you to pray for peace on the land, just like I said in Psalms 122, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I want you to pray for the peace of your property. And I did. And he says, in James 5, he says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And he says, you've come to me in righteousness. You've come to me to break the curse. So therefore, the curse has been broken upon this property. And when I sold the house, it was a wonderful couple that had moved in, older couple, and they've been there ever since. Now, I want you to understand, I did not know. I knew that there had been a group there. I'd prayed over the house, but I had not done certain things. I'd not sought the Lord on where were the entry points, where were the focal points that the enemy had rights to come in. And I had no understanding of this. And, you know, it's like many of you who've gone before courts of law, you had no idea that you broke a law, but that's no excuse in a court. Ignorance of the law makes no difference. They don't care. So you have to go in and understand the boundaries that you're dealing with. Now, those boundaries are spheres of influence. So what is the sphere of influence in your boundaries? What is your property? You know, so that you go to the corners of your property, your home, your land, and you stake them out. Once you understand what the area is that you either have rental control over, personal control because you're purchasing, you have authority on that land as the purchaser. Now, you inherited the curses. That happens all the time because you purchased the curse. And some people say Christians can't have curses. Well, you haven't walked where I've seen if you believe that. Christians certainly can walk into curses. And then the Lord says, are you willing to war for your boundaries? You know, that's a strong question because you do not want to enter into a battle that's not yours. It's time, you know, when you go into a war, you don't want to pick a fight with somebody that's, 10 times your size. You don't want to pick a fight with somebody that's an expert in jiu-jitsu and you don't know how to do anything. You know, you're not even good at badminton. Well, the war, the battle is the Lord's, and he's the one that fights the war, but you have to go before him declaring, Lord, I'm coming before you for the boundaries of my property, my home. And then we're going to go out. Once you get your own clean, we're not going to go after cleaning the city or the state or the nation until you start doing your own to get your own house in order. You know, you got to understand the keys to war, and timing is a key. And are you willing to war for what you have? And most of us are. And what is the portion that I'm supposed to have? What is the inheritance? You know, did you inherit the property that you're on? You say, well, I don't know if my parents did anything wrong. Well, go back 6 generations. Let's deal with everything that's passed. Just say, Lord, we're just coming before you for anything, any sin that's been committed on this land. We come before thy courts of heaven, and we ask that you would bring these into the courts of mercy and grace, that mercy and grace would be shown over this property, that it would be cleansed. For you have a responsibility that the clutter and the liens against your land would be removed. And you ask him, Lord, to remove the liens of any curse upon my land, upon me, my wife, my children. You can do it for friends, coworkers that work for you. That the Lord would give you authority and give you an understanding of your position in his kingdom. And at that point, you'll start to see if you're advancing. So we're in a season of war. And the Lord's saying, you know, you have to understand, does a king go out to war that he's not first down and consider what he's able to do? You know, what he's going to have, what supplies? Does he have the men? Does he have the equipment? If he does not, then he sends out a delegation and asks for peace. Well, you know, if you're going to go to war for your land, understand what that represents. Understand your children. Understand your loved ones. So it's like we're warring for my children again because they've stepped away from what they know, and we all get guilty of that. So we're going to go before the Lord and ask him to show us what are the areas in our children's life, in our life. If we're going to wage war, we got to know what we're waging war against so we don't get into a battle that's not ours. Because the Lord says, the battle is mine, says the Lord. And he wants to open up a path, literally, a pathway to your destiny for victory. And he wants us to understand that we are only responsible for what we're supposed to war in. So many people want to get into the middle of a fight, and they'll pick somebody else's cause. Now, for you men, or maybe even some of you women, if you've ever been in a fist fight before and you jumped in taking on somebody else's cause, or even the cause of this nation, you went to war. You don't willingly take on somebody else's battle unless you've been given instruction. You have the unction, you have the direction to go forward. And in doing so, you've got to understand, do I have the proper jurisdiction to come before the Lord? And this is things we're not taught on in churches. Do I have the proper jurisdiction, the legal authority to do justice in the case of that which is being brought against us? What are the liens? What are the suits? What are the actions that the enemy has brought against this property? Now, as a property owner, a renter, an inheritance, or a purchaser, you understand from what I've been saying, I believe, or I hope, understand means to come under. So I hope you've come under the understanding of that, that you have legal authority and justification and jurisdiction to go before the courts of heaven. Now, Satan, the enemy, makes a petition. And if nobody shows up to court, he's bringing them. When he says Satan goes before the throne is literally the highest order of the court system. And he goes before the throne day and night, bringing petitions against us. If we do the slightest sin and we don't repent for it, the enemy says, wait a minute, I can come against Wade because he lusted or he said this or did this, and he didn't repent for it. So I've got legal rights to take this before the court. And if you don't repent for that, then he has the authority to put that lien against you. Now, the Lord says he's forgiven us for all sin, and he has, but he says we are to repent of all of our sins. So I've literally seen, back on the East Coast, hurricanes turned away because Pat Robinson and others repented for the sins of the nation. He had positional authority to repent for the sins of the nation. We can all do that, but not all of us are called to get into that situation because you're dealing with principalities. But we are called to deal with ourselves and our family and our property. So the Lord says, judge yourself first. Let's look at your stuff. What has God put you in? What are you struggling with? You know, now I've talked to many of you today, and we're all struggling with finances. And the enemy is throwing everything he can to stop the finances from his kingdom people coming forth. So we have to go before the courts, and Lord, I repent for any improper use of the finances that you've given me for, and this is going to shake up some people, not giving as you've told me to give, not being a good steward of what you've given me or for sin. And I ask that you forgive me for that because the finances of which I'm standing for have been withheld. And the prosperity that I stand on and the land that I stand on, if there's a curse on the land, it's keeping the prosperity from coming forth, and I need to deal with it. Is there an area that I need to come into the angelic courts where the angels have been standing waiting for us to ask for help in the court system so they can walk us through the systems? You know, because we've not known how. And if many of you have been in the courts in the United States, in the nation, and you found out there is protocol, and there are many protocols, and if you do not follow the protocols, you could end up in contempt of court and being thrown in jail for a time. Now, it doesn't make any difference that we say you do not have the right to do this. If they are in charge and you're in their domain, and guess what? They have that authority. So when we go before the Lord to go into a battle, the first place we need to go is not here on earth, but in the heavens. That's your starting point. But you need to understand that God's dimension of heaven is as tiered. So many of us think, well, you know, we've got to go to the first heavens, the earth, and the second heavens, and the sphere around us, and that's Satan, and third heaven is, you know, is where God is. Well, you know, there are many levels. He actually said there's seven. But the kingdom of the earth, he says, you got to walk in my ways. So therefore, walk in my word. Keep my word as a testimony unto you. Number two is the kingdom of God. Keep my laws. And then you deal with the kingdom of heaven. So he says, you're going to judge your house. And then you go into the next level, which is heaven itself. And he says, judge in my courts, because we're going to judge the fallen angels. But then we go to the most important place, to go to heaven of heavens. Well, literally the throne room of God is that we can come before him and say, Lord, here's my petition. Here's what's happened. Here's what the enemy's doing. You've shown me this because I've asked you, and there's all these problems, and I need help. So I bring this before you. I bring this situation in and ask that you would render a verdict against the accuser and take my case from the court of accusation to the court of mercy and grace, because it's covered by the blood of Yeshua, Jesus Christ, and therefore your word says that I am set free. For he who is set free, the Son is set free, is free indeed. So, Lord, we take our petitions, we take our situations before you and ask that you would show us that which we need to do, that we could enter into the courts of heaven to possess our inheritance, that we can go in and we can break the strongholds of the enemy, cancel the liens against us, cancel the unbroken curses we knew nothing of, destroy the works of the enemy, and enter in properly through rules of engagement into thy throne room, that we could have victory before we have to go before the courts of the earth. We've won in the courts of heaven. So, Lord, we just ask that you would unleash your power in our lives, that you would show us that which we need to do, that you would fill us with power that's unspeakable power, that's beyond anything that we have. For we repent and ask forgiveness for the sins of our family, for our own personal sins, for the sins that have been committed upon the land, upon this place where we choose to dwell, where you have us at this time, whether it be a rental, a lease, a purchase, that the seed of thy harvest, which has been planted because we are here, according to our scripture, would bring about a great harvest. We bring before you repentance, before forgiveness comes, so therefore we repent and ask that you would turn around any situation that has caused a binding against us or our family, our loved ones. We cancel the curse of unforgiveness, of shedding of innocent blood, of sins of omission, and sins of commission. That you would show us in the night season that which we need to repent for. That any curses could not be held against us, that we would purchase because of our land, and that we would be set free. You said, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Lord, we pray for the peace of each and every one of our bodies, our spirits, our souls, our land, that we can go forth and claim our cities, our states, and the nation. We come before thy courtroom of heaven and ask that as a righteous judge, you will judge the people according to the blood of your Son. So, Lord, we just enter into this place. We enter in with thanksgiving. We enter in with mercy and grace, asking for you to show us mercy and grace, that our sins are covered. We choose not to battle into battles that are not ours, not to get out of our position of authority, but to battle in that area you tell us to battle. Let thy glory fill these temples, for that is the first place you have purchased, and let these temples be pure before you. that we would have clean hands and pure hearts, and in that, that we cleanse the land. We choose, Lord God, to come before you. We choose to take communion because you said it's your desire that we take communion on land, that we reclaim it and dedicate it unto you. So, Lord, I thank you for this in Yeshua's precious name. Now, I'm going to go into the next 3 weeks. There's 6 chapters in this book to go, and we're going to talk about title deeds. We're going to talk about reestablishing covenant on your land. We're going to talk about taking communion on the land. Matter of fact, I'm going to ask David to talk about that a little bit tonight. We're going to talk about what we speak, how to break the curses. We're going to talk continually about going to the courtrooms of heaven. And here's 2 other things that I wish to speak about. Dealing with prayers of forgiveness and prayers of restitution that is so desperately needed for our land. So there's one other spot here. That when we go before the Lord for the city and the state and the nation, that we've already won the battle in heaven. So that when we go as a unified people, that there'll be a great move take place. Now, many of you might say, well, you know, I've heard this before, or I've read about these things. Well, it's not good enough to read about something. You've got to do it. So that's why I want to encourage you to do that which needs to be done. That you can be set free. Your family could be set free. The land could be set free. And the glory of the Lord would shine forth in Jesus' name. Amen. So thank you all for listening to me. I'm kind of preaching, teaching, but that's what this is about. And I've got so much to bring you. I'm just doing what I can with what I have. But I want you to understand there's incredible materials. Now, I'm going to make available, I've been given permission to purchase books by the case lot, and they're regular $10, and I'm going to be able to get them for $6. So I'm offering to those on the call for $6, and whatever the book rate to mail them to you, it's probably $1 or $2. I'll do so, and that's from God's hand to your land, which is the primary that this teaching's come out of. And for you that are taking notes, I'm going to give you 6 books right now that I want you to consider having and purchasing when you can. One of them is Commanding Your Morning by Cindy Trim, and it's Unleashing God's Power in Your Life. And if you look up Cindy Trim, that first little book is like $16. They're not going to be cheap, but they're powerful. The next one is The Rules of Engagement, and this probably has more areas of the strong men and curses and areas in your life that you can deal with to destroy the work of the enemy than any book that I've read. Next group of books comes from Glory of Zion. One is the God's Unfolding Battle Plan, what's going on right now. This was written several years ago, and it's all happening right now. The next one is Possessing Your Inheritance by Chuck Pierce. And this is gloryofzion.org. And I've got many things that I'm quoting out of there. And then Dutch Sheets Intercessory Prayer. And you can go online. I will make a printed copy of all these available to anybody that wants it, and I'll have it out this week. And then the Courts of Heaven, there's an entire series of the Courtrooms of Heaven from Jeanette Strauss. And I will be able to get a 40% discount. I'm just going to pass it on to you. I don't make anything on it. All I'm asking is that you cover my postage. We have gotten a wonderful donation from a blessing came in that will buy the first case. And there's 24 to a case, so basically it will cover that first case. And then there's actually a series that has the book and communion elements in it, and it gives a whole bunch of instruction on rededicating your land. So that's my tidbits of information for now. I have closing prayers and other things I'm going to come into, but I wanted you to be aware of what some of the elements are and what some of the resources are that we're dealing with. Now, before I go too much further, I want to call upon somebody. David Pimbleton is a dear friend. His heritage goes all the way back to Plymouth. His family had the land that the first Thanksgiving was on. He can go into more detail later, but he's going to talk about all that. But the first flag of the nation was actually presented to his ancestors, the evergreen flag. But I want David to talk a minute about communion and what maybe give an example or two about communion over some of the things God has told you to, David, before I call on other people, and what the effects have been that you've seen of some of those communion situations. So David Templeton.
Okay. Hey, everybody. How are you all doing tonight? I hope everything's well with you all, and that from all indications of what God's showing me, some major confirmation, we're about to see some things that have been taking to finally birth out and break out in our lives. You know, and so the thing about what where taking communion in the covenant first really began with me, because I have to share this out of the experience, was several years ago. I was for a purpose, I just started taking it out of just God saying, take covenant now about this, and I would just pray it through and what he would lead me to do. And I just did it for several years, just out of obedience, you know, and I saw what I was praying for concerning things, not necessarily of my own self, but with business people that I was dealing with concerning their businesses. And I would take the covenant, and I would see breakthrough take place. Never really told anybody about this situation. And then I ended up moving to Nashville. And my dad really pulled one on me one night, because him and I, we've had an issue in our relationship. And you know, he really hit me hard one time. He pulled me and talked to me some, and I'm not going to get into details other than when I got through and I went into the fifth wheel trailer that I was in, I was in tears. It was that bad. And God said, you need to take communion. And we took communion. It broke the pain away. And it healed that part of my heart. And then I asked him, I says, first, why am I doing this? What's this all about? You know, can you talk to me? I want to know what scriptures, and I need to know something a little bit on from your word perspective. And he took me back to the actual crucifixion from the Garden of Gethsemane to the cross. And that from the Garden of Gethsemane all the way through the pathway to the trials, and each trial and each time he went before Herod and Pontius Pilate in the prison and everything, he shed blood on every bit of land that covered every part of our own lands, our own selves, our own lives. Not only did it cover, but I learned actually, because his blood doesn't cover, it redeems. And when I looked, when redemption, what redeem and redemption actually means, it's a physical violent act in taking somebody out of harm's way to take them away from a destructive death level situation and moving them into complete utter safety to where they are not harmed. And that's what Yeshua did on the cross. What he did from the Garden of Gethsemane to, he took our lives, and God showed me, he took my life and every aspect of my life, of my own life, and redeemed me from the Garden of Gethsemane, where it is the cursed land. And then, by the way, and I believe somewhere after the flood, he no longer cursed the land. He brought a rainbow, two rainbows that would say that this would be no longer cursed, but seed time and harvest would happen. And so that's part of where I began to look at that time period. Okay, now we have means. He spoke the word. He spoke words that I am no longer cursing after flooding of sin. The flood of the curse got to the point of where it raised up to a level, because if you go back even to the wilderness, there was a race that God said, I won't let you have it until their curse, their sin has been fulfilled. So they've come to a fulfillment of that sin, and they will topple, and you will go in there and easily take them out. And so back to the thing regarding where I am. I'm sitting there, and I'm looking at, and God's showing me in the Word that He redeemed it. He physically, violently shed blood, stripped of flesh, you know, maybe chipped some bone. I mean, if you the crucifixion and the cat of nine tails and the things that I was able to have, I believe, a real visual sense of what He went through. You literally can see organs and the back pieces of the backbone, his rib cage, his lungs, his kidneys. You can see pieces after the cat of nine tails came out and ripped into his flesh. And so that's the violent redemption of our lives, of my life. I began to understand that is the situation. That's what happened. You know, and all of a sudden I began to realize that in every place of my life, the pathways of the marketplace, because when he went from the jail to the where he was beaten and crucified and whipped and all of that stuff, and the strip, the cat of nine tails, whipped him 39 times, by his stripes were healed. It was in a prison. So in the prison of sin, curses and everything, he physically redeemed us by the shedding of his blood in that aspect. Because it then, if you go back to the point where he was, where the people yelled out and the women yelled out, let his curse be on us and our children's, then he turned around on that cross and said, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. And I began to see, forgive them. We are forgiven by that redemption. And when I took, now here's the thing. When I took covenant that night, when he started to show me this, I had a Dr. Pepper and a potato chip. And when I had that, instantly the power of God's peace came into that trailer. And the next morning I saw my dad. Now, that's my dad, but as a man who was without salvation, I was separated from him in the sense to be able to see the true man that he is and the real miserableness of his own life, that he would be that way towards everybody else. And I began to change. And then I began to know when I came back to Austin, when I got back involved in the business marketplace, I began to know how to effectively deal with things in covenant in business, but just for my own self. And I saw things change, people's lives change. There was a situation in the business place when someone, Wade, that you know, that I know, that used to live here in Austin, there was a real issue that happened. And God told me to take covenant against the situation, and the thing turned around, and the thing didn't happen. And I won't go into details other than it would have destroyed this person's life pretty bad had it gotten its way.
Right.
And so I began to notice that. And in my own personal life, I began to notice that when I would partake of it, it would transform me in what those prayer, what I prayed about, when I would pray according to the Word, the transforming of my mind began to take place. And I began to see differently, and my character began to change. And I became more attuned to what the Spirit of God was moving and saying and doing, and having me minister and do things. And so I learned that through all of that pathway, that in the book, in the Gospels, the Spirit of God came with genius in what he did. And having spoken it and empowered it to happen on Yeshua, that he really did come to complete that which was needed to be done. He finished the work. It, when he said, it is finished, Ramadan, it is finished. It is done. It is completed. There is nothing lacking. All perfect shalom has been performed before, between you and me, and that when John said, behold the Lamb of God who takes the sin of the world away. And so all of this was dealt with. And so that I know now that if I need to deal with something with me and something that has got to be dealt with, I can come to this communion. And it says that most of the body is falling asleep because they do not rightfully discern the body when they come together. That sleep means they die in their sickness. They die because they're not rightfully discerning what is needed to be done. And so there is a need to pray and get discernment. What is this that needs to be done into the body of David, into the spirit, into the soul, in order to deal with this issue that's keeping the distance between me and God and that issue? Because in your word it says there's nothing there. So if there's something there, that something needs to be removed. And so we go in there and we take the process. And generally, I have found that it's a mindset. It's a vain imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of the will of God and the knowledge of God's word and what he knows and what he is, that I am not completely understanding that I need to have. And once I get that understanding, that revelation, and it connects to everything else, it begins to fill up that area, and it's no longer able to have the demonic realm have activity or to be able to do stuff. And that's it's been empowered, and I've been doing that ever since then. I've seen victory take place. I've seen me transform and change. I've seen healing take place. I've seen where I do it before I go minister, and God's power shows up in demonstration. The thing that I'm going to tell you, an emphasis of this, it says that if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In God's word, what's happening, and through what I've understood from, is that the reason why most of the curse of the land or the curse of the person exist is because they do not walk according to the Spirit. They walk according to the soul, lust of the flesh, and the flesh has still corruption in it by sin and hell and the grave and curses that actually have been redeemed. It's just in the position where it's exalting that above God, and it becomes the vain imagination that must be pulled down in order for you to walk according to the Spirit. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. The reason why social Christianity has been alive today, and principle walking and walking law-like and law-abiding, is because we're not walking according to being led by the Spirit most of the time. And so we go fall back and revert to the law and principle. And God has redeemed us from that situation because it should be written in our hearts automatically so that it doesn't operate that way. So that we can operate by the Spirit. Because if we are Abraham's seed, Abraham was a foreshadow of a man who walked by the Spirit and heard God's voice. When God spoke, he obeyed God. And when he didn't hear God's voice, he was continuing on what he knew God called him to be and do in the land that he was in. And so those things are where we have to come up to a higher place. We have to come like John when God said, come up here. It's time. Come up here. Come up into the Spirit and listen to what I say in the Spirit and be led by the Spirit and walk by the Spirit. And when you do that, you're not going to fulfill the lust. You won't come back down into the flesh and back down into the law, because the law was fleshly, according to the book of Hebrews. It was made to deal with flesh. It was to show flesh its sin and show that we had to walk by this law rather than live by the Spirit of God and hearing what he has to say and doing what he says to do in a normal basis. Do we all walk perfectly? I will admit I don't walk perfectly in all of this, but we're getting there.
It's the idea.
Right. I mean, well, no, it's not an idea. It's the life. That's how it is.
No, I didn't say idea. It's the ideal position where we're supposed to be. It's
right.
Where we're achieving, where we're working towards.
You know, and so that's the thing. And the thing is that I believe that because the book of Acts showed there were men and women in the upper room that had gone to that level of walking by the Spirit, knowing what God wanted to do, we can be there too. And that's where he's restoring us to be. And that's what this is important, that because he said, take this often as you come together. Because what he was symbolizing is not just that he was saying to the spirit realm, this is that covenant that has destroyed your works, your power, the curse that I had to place on the situation has been redeemed because of this, because I made peace with man through this, the shedding of my blood of my son, who we are one, and I am one with him, and they are one with me, because my word said that they are one with me. And the evil one, you can't touch them, because I wrote that in my word.
Let me segue right here. This is a perfect place. What David is telling you is the very thing that I'm talking about in redeeming the land, from God's hand to your land. It is covenant keeping, the covenant that he's talking about, the taking covenant. And the Lord said, do this as often remembrance of me. He says, I want you to come full circle. Let's talk in modern terminology. I want you to come for full circle. You knew me once. You fell in love with me, and I cleansed you and gave you hope. And we all stray. It's like looking at a tornado. When we first come to know the Lord, we're in that little place at the bottom. But as we go up, that wind, that fervency weakens, and we circle further and further out. So the very vortex, when we get closer to heaven, we're actually further away from God in many situations. We're being taken up, but we've been walking for 10, 20, 30, 40 years. Doesn't make any difference. But he says, do this in remembrance. Come back to me. Come back to the beginning of that circle. Close the circle. I'm bringing you full circle. And I want you to take covenant on the land. Now, David gives you a pretty excellent example about dealing in business, dealing in personal and family situations. Now, I want you to look at it as far as land. The Lord said, and I read it to you earlier, I didn't quote the exact scripture, but I read it out of there, that, the land cries out. The land has a voice. Now, we were made from dust. We were made from the land. So the land cries out within us. So the very land cries out for the Lord. That is us. Our spirit, soul, mind, will, emotion, body cry out unto the Lord. So he says, I want you to do this in remembrance. Do this that I may break the covenants of the enemy, the accusations, and cancel the liens that have been imposed upon you. So this is what I want you all to do. I want you to pray over this week and ask the Lord what it is. What has been holding up the blessings? And I'm doing the same thing. Mel's on the phone. Him and I are dear, dear friends. He's one of my best friends, and we were talking today about the frustration of having projects out there that are clearly excellent projects, but not getting the finances for them. And it's frustrating, and I'm calling out to the Lord, and he's telling me to do this very thing. So literally, my wife and I take communion. That's what the covenant is. Take communion. Do this, you know, as often as you can remember to me, to enter back into that position with the Lord. Now, we pray. We ask God to give us of anything, that there be no sin within our heart. Anything he shows us, we repent of. And we repent of things that we didn't do, because there's sins of omission, that you did not do something God wanted you to do. And he was telling you, and you just couldn't hear him. So we ask for forgiveness, and then, you know, so take communion amongst you and your wife, or if it's just you or your family, take communion. And then I literally want you to go outside, but do the personal first. Ask God to show you, and don't just run out and do it tonight. Ask God to show you over this next 3 or 4 or 5 days, what could be holding up? Is there any sin in your life? What about the sin on the land? Was there sacrifice on the land? Was there spilt blood on the land? Was there war on the land? Were there covenants by covens, witchcraft on the land? I'm talking about your physical property. And then go, so you do the communion with yourself, and then you go out and you do communion on the land. Now, David's done this many times because he's actually told me about it. I literally want you to go out, and there's a kit that I have available, and I can make that available to you. It costs $20, though. But it literally talks about all the elements and what they mean and why. But just if you use wine, use wine. If you use grape juice, use grape juice. And I prefer, I buy strong ground wheat thins because they look just like what the Lord's talking about. They're striped, they're perforated, they have no leaven in them, they're not raised up, and they're an excellent little thing for communion. And my wife and I break one every Sunday and take communion every Sunday. But then we're going to go out, and we're doing this tomorrow because we've been reading and studying about this, and we didn't get the opportunity today. We're digging a hole in our yard, and we're taking the community element, the communal elements, and planting them in our yard. We're pouring the wine in the hole, the broken cracker in the hole, and we're reclaiming the land unto the Lord. So we're going to have the land. If the land is living and it cries out, why can't the land take communion? So we're literally going to go out and take covenant and communion on the land, with the land, and dedicate it back unto the Lord to break any curses that may be purchased, because we purchased this home, anything that's happened in the past generations upon that land. And we're going to claim victory for our children, ourselves, our business. We're going to make our list. We're going to have our list. Here's the things, Lord, you're showing us about the land. Here's the things you're showing about us. Here are the, that which needs to be repented of and all these things. And we're going to make covenant, and we're going to reclaim the blessings, the promise, the finance, the health, the souls. And we're literally going to take that, and we're planting that into the land with communion to break those curses. So I truly believe, matter of fact, this whole book leads up to that, reading from. Now, I'm going to make available my email address for those of you that like the book that I'm teaching out of. I mean, there's 12 books I'm teaching out of, but the primary book you'll actually see. You'll hear some of the things that you thought I was just speaking. I was actually reading. There's segments in here because I'm teaching out of this book. And it talks about, let me give you an idea. The first thing is the title deed. You'll hear me go over that every time. The signs of a curse on the land. Purchasing a curse, breaking a curse is where we went today. Next week, we're dealing with the courtrooms of heaven, which I have great teachings on that. Then we're going to go into a new name. What's God giving you as a new name? And reestablishing the covenant. That's what I'm talking about over your land. And what are the elements of doing that? And what is the what does he want to bring into remembrance? So you can wait to take communion over the land. Like I said, I've read these books. My wife and I are going to go out to reestablish covenant. We're canceling the assignment to the enemy. But if you want more information and what you need in this, and you can call it a ceremony if you want to. It's a dedication unto the Lord, and we're doing it as unto the Lord, that we and our household be set free. Then, okay, now positionally, I already have a national position. As a pastor, I had a state, I had a city position, a position in the state, and I've actually been ordained as a pastor to the nation. So I can stand for the nation. I tell you what, I've been in some battles. I've been nearly killed so many times that I don't even want to, I'm not interested in going up to the biggest guy in the room punching him in the nose. I'm going to fight the battle that God tells me to fight. Now, if he says, I want you to now go for the city, then I will be joining other groups. I'll be doing prayer walks. I'll be going before the city elders, and we'll be standing for the city. And then as a group down the road here, 6-8 weeks from now, maybe longer, we're going to stand for the nation on this call and cancel the assignment of the enemy and the liens. Now, can we do that with 20, 30, 40, 50, 100 people on this call? Yes, we can. We have that authority and that right. One, me being a national chaplain to the nation, I have that right. Me pulling you in as intercessors for the nation, once you have cleansed yourself and your land, you have that right. So we're going to go before the Lord. We're going to go into the courts of heaven. Now, the enemy's not going to like this. He doesn't like me anyhow, and I praise God. But I'm not going to go out. I don't go out and poke him in the eye. He knows who I am, and I know who he is. And when I stand up, it's because the Lord said stand up, or when there's righteous indignation, I'll get into a rebuking battle. But it's all in the name of the Lord, by the blood of the Lord. And that's where we're set free. So that's a pretty good overview of what's going on and what I want to bring to you, and bring to you a solid position to destroy the work of the enemy in your life. Now I'm going to call on a couple different people. I know Nancy and I were talking. Nancy, do you want to bring that testimony or the word about what you're getting ready to do? Or do you want to bring anything?
That would be awesome to share. I'm really excited with the door. The Lord is opening the doors for me. And I'm looking forward to the way that he's going to provide and the people that he's going to use to pray. I will be going with House of Mer Ministries to do a workshop that will be their first workshop in Israel for 2 weeks, leaving August 27th. We will be gone for 2 months, we feel. Promise Keepers for a couple of weeks in Israel. And then my couple of friends and I will be going on to Northern Cyprus and on to Kazakhstan. And the Lord is asking us not to take everything to get home, but to leave it open to be available to go wherever else he might lead. So I am really thanking God for the timing of this teaching, that I can be better prepared. I know that I'll leave my land with God's blessing and no curses here, and that those of you that feel led to pray for me, I would really, really appreciate that. So I'm excited to see how God's going to work and how he's going before, and I'm looking forward to the divine appointments that he's already establishing. And just thank each of you for prayer.
Nancy, also, you're getting ready to go pray for a city.
Yes.
Isn't that correct?
Yes.
All right, now can you see the importance of what I'm talking about in this? Because since it's a Native American named city, and that land was taken from the Native Americans, there were rituals, chants, incantations, and other things. There are many things on every city, but I believe this will help give you the tools, and I should have the books to you, you know, by the weekend anyhow, to help you prepare for that.
Wade, as I was thinking after we shared, it was exciting to me because you were talking about having the authority of doing specific things that God has given to us, and the Lord reminded me that my grandpa had built several homes in this town and that my parents graduated from high school there. And I didn't connect that when I had been asked to come and pray over Loala.
Praise God. You have a generational linkage and lineage, and I'm going to establish an authority because of that.
Yes.
That will help break any liens and curses off of that city. So, and I'm going to say this to everybody. There's, you know, a lot of people have to leave the call because of other calls or timing, whatever. So those of you that listen to this, don't just jump into something without seeking the Lord. Now, as a ministry, if you have a covering of a church that says we want to go out and walk this city and pray for it, and that's fine. Praying for something is not breaking the curses off of something. It's not the same as going into the courts of heaven. And I want you to get a better view of that, that you could have the ability to have freedom of authority and position to go in and do those things. But if you are not versed, be sure that you have a covering. So Nancy was, she'd been hesitant in the spirit, and God's given us the tools in his kingdom to go take care of it. What else, Nancy?
I don't know if I was really feeling again to share that verse that I sent to your
attention. That's fine. You're ready?
Is that okay to do that?
Yes.
I was so excited because someone shared this with me. I think it came from YouTube, but it's called My Full Provision by Russell Walden. The Father says today, I'm not on a budget, therefore you are not on a budget. Put your attention today upon my supply and not your lack. Your lack is fading away this day and being replaced by my full provision for your life, your dreams, and your vision. Let there be no hesitation to write the vision, commit to the vision, and expect it to come to pass, because that is who I am and what I do. I am your dream fulfiller, and I am activating within you a radical kingdom-seeking spirit. Go ahead, says the Father. I dare you to bankrupt heaven. I dare you to believe for that which others have said I would not do. They don't have a clue of how much I love you and how much I actually have laid in store for you in the heavenlies. Draw on that inventory today. Make a demand on that storehouse of wealth earmarked for your earthly journey. You will not run out, and you will not fail to find that full and fresh assignment from heaven that activates you in your destiny as you seek and pursue and lay hold this day of my kingdom in your life. I found this to be so true as I don't look at a budget and I don't tithe anymore, because the Lord said for me, and I don't know, I'm sure there's other people on the call too, that God says, I want you to be a channel for blessings to others, and I will give to you if you will give as I ask you to do that. So I've had some really neat experiences just in the last couple of weeks in doing that, and I just praise God for the way he works.
Praise God. That's a good word, good testimony. All right. Would you like to pray anything?
Yes. Papa, I just ask that you will grab a hold of each one of us and that your kingdom will come into each one of our hearts and our minds, and that we will, all of our mindsets that are not based from you or on your scripture, or led by the Holy Spirit, that they will just be crushed, and that we will receive new neuron pathways that bring the truth, that will set us free to dare to break or to draw from the heavenlies everything that you have for each one of us, for the needs that we have. Lord, I praise you for this teaching, and there are things that we are to do, and then you more than do your part. You're just waiting you're waiting for us to disperse the angels, and how I just praise you for the way that you've been providing in my life recently and for all that you have ahead for each one on this call. Thank you, Lord, as we walk in the teaching that we are receiving, that we will be able to break the curses and set free ourselves, our families, our land, and then as you call us to go, how we praise you for what you're doing in each one of our lives. Hallelujah.
Woo! Yes. Glory.
Yes.
Praise God. Praise God. Thank you so much. Thank you for your sharing. Robert, I know we need to get together. There's so much going on. Is there something you'd like to share tonight?
Good evening, Wade. You know, the only thing I want to share is just my concern about what's happening in Israel and the Gaza Strip. And I've got something from the bridge builders. I just wanted to pass it along. Just the contrast between the people of Israel and the people of Hamas. And just, it's a real tough time for them right now. When Israel bombs, they give notice and warning to the to Hamas, Palestine, where they're going to bomb. So it enables their civilians to be out of harm's way, and then they bomb. If they choose to move or not, their policy is to advise and then bomb. The difference with Hamas is, and with Israel, their sense is that all life is sacred, and it is a tragedy when human life is lost. The Hamas, on the other hand, they reward the families of those who take out Israelis. There was some young kids who took out a Hamas boy, and Israel said, "We will prosecute him to these people to the extent of the law." Hamas, on the other side, makes them heroes. So there's real contrast between the war, the sense of war, and the sense that if the war ceases, if Hamas surrenders, there will be peace. There's not going to be retribution. And if Israel lays down their arms, they'll be annihilated.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's on my heart. We have a similar concern that I see happening in my state. Arizona has a wave of, and of course your state too, a wave of people coming in from Central America through Mexico. And it's something is fomenting it. What it is, I'm not quite sure, but it's, you know, the women and children are coming, but they're being set up for this. There's whether they're creating a rumor and saying, oh, go to America, somebody's paying for them. Costs like $7,000 per person. No guarantee yet in America. Honestly, tell me, where are these people getting $7,000 for the boat ride up the river? Where are they getting this money? Somebody is fomenting this incursion into the United States. I don't know what that is, but those are some of the things in my heart on a national and a global level. Curse on the land. I have been perplexed, and your talk about breaking the curses in our homes and our land is perplexing for me. I have, by the grace of God, for the last 5.5 years, been in my home and withstood 3 foreclosure attempts by the bank. And yet, every time I walk into my master bathroom, I swear. And now aware of it, I go, what is this? What is this demon? What is this devil? And so I'm getting close. Thank you for this teaching tonight, helping me narrow the field down to discover what it is. I like the idea of doing communion and for the land digging a hole in it. I love that idea.
Yeah. Praise God.
Yeah. So Heavenly Father, I just lifted up in prayer here, brother. I just like to say, Father, you are an awesome God. You know the beginning from the end. You know where we are in time and space. Nothing surprises you. Doesn't surprise you the reckless abandon that our leadership in the United States have carried out upon people. You know what's behind closed doors. You see what we can't see. Lord, we pray your perception. We pray your eyes. We pray that you prompt your children, your prayer warriors, your guards around the nation, to be on the alert, to see the enemy's plans before the enemy strikes, and to foil those plans by your power, by your authority, and your might. We pray for the releasing of your angels to the four corners of our nation. We pray for the guard of your angels over Israel, over the land of Israel, over your people. Lord, we pray that all of the attempts of the devil come to naught. And we thank you, Lord, that you have equipped us and prepared us for this time. We recognize that the battle is raging, and we come before your courts of heaven. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us the grace, the mercy, the preparation to stand in the gap, to stand in the fight, and to continue as your warriors until we see the coming of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. I give you praise and glory and honor that we have this time fellowship together. I release your anointing upon each of us, your peace, your courage, your steadfast. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray.
Amen. Amen. Powerful. You know, the attack on this nation is an influx of people. Islamics, those from south of the border, and they're not just Hispanic. There are many different nationalities and religious beliefs. And Chinese. The Chinese are buying up America. You know, we've actually given them deeds to our parks and many other things to help pay off national debt that we owe them. So this nation is being sabotaged. It's being sabotaged by the current administration, and their plan is to destroy the nation. And Arizona and Texas, New Mexico, California are the states that are facing the greatest influx. And what it's doing to the economy of the nation, it's literally physical and financial attack on the nation. And their promise that, you know, as a illegal alien, you can receive health benefits, you can receive housing benefits, food benefits, Cell phones, the things that as citizens we cannot obtain. And that's one of the reasons that we became involved with the Republic and our other Christian needs are not being met by a nation that's been divided. And it seems like the whole purpose of the leadership is to destroy. And the very people that we love, the people in the fire department and the police department and the military, are literally having to turn against its own citizens, us. To give these others preference when they can't even qualify for the things that are given to them. So the battle that's being poured upon the nation is so great that it's overwhelming. And take it, Israel. You know, we are told to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And I got that same communication, Robert, and I was reading it earlier. I read just a snippet of it in my opening prayer. But they are. They'll literally go out and tell the enemy, we're going to bomb you in 30 minutes. They'll broadcast it on radio. They'll send flyers. We're going to bomb this building in 30 minutes. Get your people out. In hopes that they can't get the weapons out that quick. Whereas the enemies of Israel, the enemies of the world, will kill anybody at random. So, when you go over there, pray for the peace of the nation, but until God gives you and myself and others instructions, don't go over and break curses off Israel. That's God's business. The battle's his. Go over and pray for the people of Israel and the peace of the nation. And just be walk in peace and safety if the Lord gives you. But excellent, Robert. I'm going to call just a couple more people. I'm going to call somebody that's new. Now, I had a lot of governors on the end of the governor's call, but Governor Ferguson, are you still on the line? Gene Ferguson? Are you still with us? He might be listening into his other call right now. Governor out of Virginia? Marlene, Peters, would you like to share with us tonight about what we're talking about? Do you have some insight? Marlene, I do not have you muted, if you would like to share. Okay. Mr. Rockwell, I pray that your call went well and that you've heard the last portion of what's being said.
Yeah, I've caught most of it. You know, I'm kind of following with what you and Robert were talking about. I've been in and out of prayer for Israel for, I guess, ever since I first, you know, started hearing that they were being bombed, and, you know, agreeing with everyone that we need to be blessing and praying for the country and the land as well. And you know, doing that as well for us too. I'm anxious to get to that one book so I can start delving into it and using some of the tools that are in it, what you've talked about and what you haven't talked about, to where I can do that for myself and you know, my property and beyond. So I like to come back and catch as much as I can, even though I listen to the recordings after it's done. I like to hear it firsthand, just because there's something more about the spirit when it's being done live, as opposed to going back and listening to the recording.
There's a different anointing. For sure.
Right, and so I really think that these calls and this teaching that you're doing is very important, and that's why I come back as quickly as I do, because this may, I don't know who all is on the call, but I feel like I'm called to seek the kingdom of God first, and everything else is going to be added. And that includes, you know, my work in the Republic as well. I feel if I seek him first, then everything else will fall into place. And that's how I approach what I do in everything. So I'll leave it at that. And I really I'm not called tonight to really offer up a prayer. I think I was just...
That's right. Okay.
More what was on my mind than anything.
Well, let me
would yield to somebody else that wants to pray.
Let me give you a couple things for tonight, and it's for all of us. It's not just for John. You know, when I said and I was talking earlier about be wise in our choice on how we war. You know, when the Lord says the battle is mine, it's not yours. But he also, let me give you a perfect example, and this was from the teaching this weekend of John's and my pastor. And it said, let's talk about David and Goliath. Now, well, let me back up. Jehoshaphat, Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 20. There was a great army, two nations coming against Judah. And Jehoshaphat was king, and he asked the Lord, he pulled aside and asked the Lord what to do, because there was such a great army. And the Lord said, the battle is not yours, but mine. Stand and see the salvation of the Lord. So Jehoshaphat sent out singers in front of the army. Now, if you're the prayer choir and you're told to go out in front of the battle where all the shooting's taking place, I would think that you'd be a little nervous because you don't have any weapons. Your weapons happens to be praise. But he went forward and did that. And the angels caused the enemy to turn on each other and destroy each other, and they literally went out and picked up the spoils for 3 days. It took 3 days just to get all that was there. But take a different look. Let's talk about David and Goliath. When David, you know, he was a young young man. He wasn't a boy, as they say in the scripture. He was at least 17, because that's considered a young man. He, I say in scriptures, in what we're taught, he was not a boy. He was a teenager. But he went out to bring his brothers supplies and food, and then he saw what was going on. Most of you know the story of David and Goliath. David did something different. The battle was the Lord's, but David saw that he had to do something because the Lord had him rise up in faith. And he said, because the unction of the Spirit said through David to Goliath, "This day the Lord will hand you over to me." And David defeated it and cut off his head, held him up, and all of the Philistines ran. So there are situations where God's going to, you know, the battle is the Lord's, but you're going to have to rise up in faith. If God tells you to take action, then you're going to succeed because he's still in control. So just be understand that you press in and hear the Lord. You get your own situation cleaned up if you can before you get into a battle. And understand his plan, because he'll give you an overview of the plan that you can go forth. Now, this is a word that came forth this morning, and I want to read it to you, and I'm going to prophesy it over each and every one of you that's left on this call. And I truly believe this is of the Lord. He said, "I hear the Lord speaking, and I want you to get this in your spirit." And this is what he says. He says, "I see you, and I hear you, and I know you." Now, even you all, some of you might think I'm a man of great faith, and I have a lot of faith. I'm not afraid of much of anything. And I can believe things for things that are way beyond what most people's capacity are for believing because of that which he's put me in. But I still have to go before him and ask, "Are you hearing me?" I need to know, Lord, that you're hearing me. And he says, "I know your motives and your actions and your activities. I know when you have the spirit of wisdom working on your behalf so that you can rise up into a position of victory. Don't forget that I see you where you are, and I know your attitudes and that you have those moments." And we're all going to have moments. We're going to fail. We're going to have sin. We're going to do things. But he knows those. "I know your manner of warfare or lack thereof. I know you from the rising of the sun and the setting thereof. I know you in the night seasons. I've heard you. Please understand that when you believe, all that is in my word as brought to you by the Spirit of enlightenment, my Holy Spirit, you have been equipped to be an overcomer." So in my prayers this morning, I was saying, "Lord, I just need to know. You heard my prayers," and this word came out. "You are equipped so that you may fight the good fight of faith and win. So what's left for you to do? Win. Win the battle. Run the race. Do not give up. Do not sit down. Do not lay down. Stand up. Go forward, and I will go with you. The battle is mine, saith the Lord." Glory to God. People, I hope you're hearing that. The Lord
amen,
is saying,
amen,
he's heard
amen.
You. He knows you. He knows what motivates you. He knows your activities. He knows you. When you're laying down, when you're rising up, he knows when you fall in sin. Just quickly, let the Holy Spirit convict you. If you do something wrong, say, "Oh, God, forgive me. I'm sorry. That was sin." You don't have to speak it in front of a bunch of people. As a man, you look at a woman, you go, "God, she's beautiful." You know, that's not sin, but because she is beautiful. But if you lust after her, then that's sin. So, "Lord, forgive me. I lusted. I had a lustful thought after that woman." Or in a business deal, "I did it, you know, unrighteously. It would not be a good reflection on you." And then the Lord says, "You didn't do that right. You need to ask forgiveness. You can make that correction." So he sees that. It's the same thing with women. They go through as many battles, or not more than we do, because they bear the children. And they have the heartaches. And men, we can actually we'll glaze over a child in rebellion, whereas that woman's going to lament over it. She's going to grieve over that child. So he says, I know you. As long as you believe in my word, as long as you're brought up and through my Holy Spirit to enlighten you, that I've equipped you to be an overcomer, to fight a good fight. So he says again, what's left to do? Win the battle. Run the race. Don't give up. Don't sit down. Don't lay down. Just stand up. Go forward, and I'll go with you. The battle is mine, says the Lord. So he knows who you are, and he says he wants you to be genuine. Don't be a phony. Don't seek the lack, the approval of others in pretense, but be straight unto the Lord. Be sincere in what you're doing and what you're seeking, and let God raise you up and run the battle. Don't be afraid to express your feelings, your thoughts, and intentions before the Lord. He knows when you're feeling insecure, and I was feeling insecure the other day, and I was frustrated. And he says, I know your thoughts. I know your situation. It's like he sent this for me this morning, but at the same time, he sent it for every one of us. Everyone's on this call. So I want you to be encouraged. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. I've told many people this, and Mel knows this very well about me. I am a tenacious individual. Okay? And I will fight the fight. And it's not boasting in me. I don't know what else to do. You know, you don't give up. You get knocked down, you get back up. You commit a sin, you ask for forgiveness. You do what the Lord's saying. He's saying, I'm going to teach you on the communion. I'm going to teach you how to reclaim your land. Then go do that. If he's using me to bring that forth, then praise God. If he's using one of you, praise God. David brought excellent word through testimony of what God has done, what he's doing, how to pray for and take communion for businesses, how to take it for each other. So just be encouraged. Richard Woodward, what are you getting from this? What's God saying? Would you like to share anything?
Well, there's two things, Wade. One of the things when you were talking about the people coming to this country over the border, I came across something that was pretty disheartening that apparently was an ad in a Penny Saver in Orange County where they were advertising for people to take in the illegal immigrants. And as the saying goes, if you have a bedroom, a five-bedroom house, you can take in as many as six children, and you can receive reimbursement of up to $6,054 per month tax-free.
You're kidding me.
No, little piece of information. And this is going to be paid for by our government. Okay, we are told that the normal foster services, the reimbursement is provided by a series of state and local grants, but in the case of unaccompanied refugee minors, 100% of the reimbursement will come from the federal government.
And the taxes that
the citizens are paying. Yeah, and you know, last I heard, Obama was asking for $3.7 billion. So anyway, that's just a piece of information, and it tied in with what was being talked about earlier. But, you know, I've, you know, several times talked about not being very certain of why I ended up here on this call, and I think it's becoming more clear to me. I started out in the Republic, one of the original people here in Kansas, and now I find myself as an acting governor, but I'm still on this call here, and I appreciate what you're saying about retaking the land, meaning your body, your family, your city, your state, and the nation. And it may lend itself to why we haven't been as successful as we had hoped to be all along. And the idea of coming back to myself to begin with is very appropriate because I confronted this first week, you know, last prayer call, confronting so many things that I have done in my own life that I know have been wrong, and I need to repent for those things, that I need to, just to use a phrase, get my act cleaned up so I can move forward. But even more than that, one thing you just said a little bit ago, I've been like an outcast in my own family, and right now I stand, you know, pretty much alone as the oldest son of our whole family lineage that goes all the way back to England. You've mentioned that you had that your name comes from England. My name, Woodward, was a patented name from England on my father's side. It means keeper of the king's forest. My ancestors came over and settled Jamestown, and our family owned the land that Appomattox Courthouse was on. And
wow.
On my mother's side, she is in the lineage that was settled in New England, and her family goes back through Oliver Wendell Holmes in the New England side of things. And, you know, that's what drew me to participating in the Republic. But one of the things that I know about my family is that one of my grandfathers was a Mason, and while he did some good things, I'm sure that there's more things that need to be repented for, and I'm hoping that the Lord will open my eyes and ears and bring these things so that maybe I can clean up the things that my family has been responsible for, and we can gain the repentance and move forward and contribute to helping to bring the goals of the Republic to fruition. And I think this is what this whole exercise represents to me, Wade, and I appreciate you bringing it to us, and it really confirms to me why I find myself here. And
well, you showed me something a moment ago, just what you just said, and I want you to look at this. There are three of us. Now, I don't know the testimonies of everybody else. All right, you have David, whose family goes back to Plymouth Rock, who the first Thanksgiving took place at their home with the Iroquois Indians, and the flag, we believe, the evergreen flag was given unto his family. Your family goes back to the, you know, to forest keepers, and see, that's a keeper of the land, forest keepers, okay, and to the Appomattox Courthouse.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. And your lineage. So you're a very important part of this. And then my lineage goes all the way back to King George. Okay, some considers was a nut. But, I mean, there's three right there. What can we break off of the nation once we get there? What, you know, we get past, not past, but we get through our families. And I'm not saying this is going to be done in 6 weeks, but I'm saying that we're going to get an understanding of this, that we take this very word, this courtrooms of heaven. And the next teaching is the courtroom of heaven and how it pertains to our land and how we take the petition. And I'm going to go word for word on this, plus the teaching from Ian Clayton on going for these courts, that we can break this off, these curses off the land. So there's three of us on the call that have that lineage. Now, I don't know about how many others have this type of lineage that are on the call. Also, let me regress. Forgive me. I yield the floor back to you.
One thing I was going to say, too, my middle name is Lafayette. And that name came into our family when Lafayette came to help us during the Revolutionary War. My name
right.
is actually Richard Lafayette Woodward IV.
Wow.
And talking about this, I'm getting spirit checks all up and down my arms.
Yeah.
But I know from what you're saying, Wade, I'm in the right place at the right time, and with another surge of energy, not giving up, continuing to go forward. And I really believe that we're going to be successful with that. Things are happening. And we're and maybe we're going back to square one on the Monopoly board. It's like, you know, you start a go and you get everybody, you know, and you just go forward. And
amen. Amen. All right, I'm going to ask something of everyone that's on the call and everyone that listens to this call. If you have a testimony about your ancestral lineage and how it relates back to the founding of the nation, I would like for you to send that in to RaiseVine, RaiseVine, at sbcglobal.net. And I don't need a book. I'm talking about if you just give me the overviews. It could be bullet points. I love bullet points. I don't have to know all the details. But, you know, it's like what Richard just shared. Because as we get towards the end of this teaching, I've already asked David to prepare his lineage, and David has got a call, and I believe this will be the first place that he does this, to literally break down the enemy's stronghold in areas of the nation. And there's going to be a great move of God in that, and we're going to publish this. And then, Richard, I want you to do the same thing, and I'm going to do the same thing. That we can go back on that which God has given us, that which our lineage is. And if anybody, any of you know about your, you know, it could be your grandfather, it could be your great-grandfather, it could be five, six, seven generations back in this nation that we could stand. Monty knows that his grandfather brought in pornography into North Dakota, you know, and prostitution. He ran a house of ill repute, so that's something to be broken off. And he doesn't know what effect it's had on his family. He got a good idea. What are the things that we brought in? You know, were we involved in slavery? Now, I don't need to go up to every black person. I don't care if there's any black person on this call because I've pastored a black church for 7 years. If I don't need to go up to every black person and ask them to forgive me for the slavery that enslaved their ancestors. I am not guilty. Okay? But at the same time, there are things that I can repent of nationally, you know, for slavery, and just many things that we can look at. So those are some of the things that we'll look at here in the future. So anybody that would like to participate in that, I greatly appreciate you sending that information in. And is there anything else you'd like to say, Richard, before I go to my last person?
No, that's a mouthful already.
We're gaining ground just on this. Dan or Brenda, would either one of you like to share, or both of you? Our vice president on the line, his beautiful wife, who actually does more work than he does now because all the positions she's had to cover. I can laugh about that because he knows I'm laughing with him instead of against him.
Yes, sir. We love you, brother. She stuck her head in. She says for me to go ahead. So,
all right.
I was able to just get on the call, and again, appreciate what you're doing. I am actually, you're talking about having descendants. My great-grandmother's maiden name was Franklin, and she was a descendant of Benjamin Franklin.
Wow. And look at Jim Geiger, you know.
Yeah.
As president.
Yes.
It's part of the testimonies that we're right about.
Absolutely. You know, just actually the call we just finished was a very good call. We were going over the role of religion in the du jour, and what our founding fathers' intentions were. And I was just contemplating not only from a aspect of the Constitution, but from an aspect of Scripture as well. You know, it's good that we know and can memorize scripture or memorize the Constitution or documents such as that. But what is so important with the Constitution and with scripture is to understand and discern the intent. And in scripture, discerning the intent comes through relationship. And when you have a relationship with someone and someone says, well, this person is a certain way, if you have a relationship with that person, you say, you may say in your mind, that's totally contrary to what I know this person is or who I know this person is. And that's where it is so important for us to have a relationship with the Lord and have a relationship that we understand what his intent is, because as we know, many things get misinterpreted, either through scripture or what have you. But the Holy Spirit does not misinterpret.
He says
he will lead us. He will lead us into all truth. He is the comforter. The Holy Spirit will never misinterpret. He will never lead us into something that is not truth. He cannot lie. He cannot deceive. Those are not his nature. Those things are not the nature of our Heavenly Father. And I'm just contemplating those things. And as we are going forward, you know, it's so important that we know and are led by the Holy Spirit, that we are led, truly led by the Holy Spirit, and truly led by his promptings to know, to turn right, turn left. He wants to direct our lives so meticulously, and it's not to dictate. Everything that he does for us and through us is to benefit us and to purify us and to make us a workable vessel that he can use. And those are just some things that are, some thoughts that are going through my mind. And don't know where you've been tonight, but look forward to trying to listen to the recording.
Do you, by any chance, have the opportunity to read the statement of faith that I did today and sent you?
I have not.
Brenda?
Okay. I apologize. No,
it's long. Okay. There's 15 points. On printed pages, it's 1, 2, 3, 4. It's not that I'm preaching. It's just I hit all the ones. And they might, you know, I was asked for that. But it literally says what you're saying, you know. And it's through a relationship that we understand. It's through the relationship that we can go before the courts of heaven. He said, come before the throne of grace. He was inviting us to come up. And we can come up and say, Father. He's the righteous judge, Father. You know, I need your help. These things are coming against me. This is what's been put on me. This is the lien put on my property. Well, the lien was put on your property far before you ever got there. I don't mean just because you just got filed on. I'm not saying you, damn it. I'm saying anybody. Because there was something in the past that we were unaware of that gave that right to that. So as we learn more and grow more, we're going to shake the kingdom of Satan, because the kingdom of heaven is being established. And I truly believe that the Republic is part of that kingdom of heaven. Are we the answer? No, we're just part of the answer. And as long as we keep in right understanding where we are, and Ken got on me last week, it was so good. He said, understanding means you stand under. And I said, boy, you're absolutely right. If we get right understanding of what the Lord is saying, then we will find the victory and helping set our nation free. So with what my dear friend and our vice president just said, I'm going to close. I know there's some of you that I have not called on. I cannot call on everybody every time. There's some of you that might want to have something say, drop me an email or give me a call tomorrow. I can't thank you enough for being on. Share this with people. Once again, the playback number is 530 888-831-1399. I've never used it that way because I go into a different entry, so I hope it gives you what you need. And then John is saving it. I'm saving the calls, and John is saving them. He's going to be able to post them to Skype. I'll be able to put them on a flash drive and have them available for anybody, this entire series. And I do have the books on the way. They cost. The book sells for $10. I can get it for $6. And I got to pay for their postage coming in, and I got to pay for the postage going out. So I'll let everybody know if they want one. I can't give everybody one. There are some that have offered into this ministry to do this, and they're going to get their books. And anybody that wants to purchase, all they have to do is let me know that you'd like to have one. And at that email address, raisevine@sbcglobal.net, and I will do the best to get you a book. I've ordered a case, which is 24. And then there are the book with the communion kit and the deed. And it's not a big piece of paper. It's actually kind of small. But it's the title deed, transferring the title deed from the enemy's camp, which right now is the City of London and the Vatican, into our camp and dedicating it back unto the Lord. And you'll have a title deed. Now, like I said, it's a little piece of paper. It's not just a great big thing. But it is kind of neat. It's a blessing, and it's in the back of the book. So I want to thank everybody. I want to encourage you once again to hear what the Lord is saying. He hears you. He knows you. He knows your motives, your actions, your deed. He's positioning you into a place of victory. Don't forget he knows everything about you. He is love. He is perfect love. He's a judge, but he wants to judge you in love. But it comes through that relationship with Jesus Christ and confessing and your sin repenting. If you did something, you sinned today, it doesn't mean you're going to hell if you died this afternoon or this evening. It just means there's a sin with that's going to be dealt with. If you lived a life of sin and you haven't repented, then there's going to be some real issues because you could not know Jesus Christ if you just lived nothing but a life in sin because he wipes away the sin. He makes the slate clean. Any of you that's been in a court situation, and I had a serious judgment against me expunged because I pleaded nolo contendi. I wasn't guilty, but I didn't have the money to fight him. And the judge allowed me to do that. And in 6 years, they expunged a record. I was not guilty. It didn't make any difference. The accusation was against me, and that record was taken off the books. Well, with the blood of Jesus, all of your record, every bit of it, is taken off the books. So he's equipped you to fight the good fight. So Father, Yahweh, Lord Jesus, Yeshua, Holy Spirit, we just ask you to restore this time to everyone that has been on the call and everyone that will be. That you give them peace and rest as they learn to go before thy courts of heaven for their land, their personal bodies, their family, their homes, the city, the state, the nation, that you give us the tools to get it done, that you to receive the glory. We reclaim the land. The title deed is yours, even though man has claimed it. And so we're going to transfer that title deed that the enemy came and installed, beginning with the very sin of Adam and Eve and Satan. And he's been cast down, so we're going to transfer that title deed back to you that we may inhabit the land until it's our time of going to be with you or your time coming with us. We thank you for these things and bless you and exalt you in Yeshua Jesus' name. Amen. I thank everybody for being on. I'm going to turn off the recording.